Please welcome everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for coming today. My name is Kevin, and without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you your Illinois State Comptroller, Susana Mendoza.
Wow, well, good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to have you all here. It's really especially nice to see people bring their friends and families as well. So welcome to the third floor. This is so much nicer than the old Thompson Center. So if any of you had ever been there, this is definitely, definitely eons above that. But this is, of course, one of my favorite months to celebrate because, well, girl power.
Yes.
Right? Girl power. Yes. But most importantly, it's a time to honor and recognize the outstanding hard work and achievements of the fabulous and amazing women in our state, of which there are many. Now, you are here because you are businesswomen, advocates, leaders, and a voice for our most vulnerable. The work that you do matters, and it makes our community stronger and safer. Your impact resonates more than you'll ever really, truly know. I'm sure there have been times you may have felt underappreciated, maybe because you're a woman. Or maybe you weren't being paid the same as your male colleagues, or have access to the same opportunities or contracts that they do. Maybe you didn't feel seen. Unfortunately, this still happens. But with women like you, and together, we can make things change and we can make things better. We can speak up, we can lead by example, and make our voices heard. Now, I know the struggle all too well, going up against the boys and sometimes not being taken seriously. But you know what? I never gave up. And I still have to keep fighting every inch of the territory. But when I was little, I started playing soccer when I was just 7 years old. And for a long period of my youth, I was the only girl on all-boys soccer teams. And when I got to high school, my team didn't exist. We didn't have a girls' soccer team in high school. But I didn't let that stop me, just like these women don't let anything stop them. So in the absence of a team, I fought to get the first soccer team led by women at Bolingbrook High School. And so I'm very proud of that. And that fight, you know, that fight in me growing up helped keep me motivated as I was elected the youngest member of the 92nd General Assembly, the first female city clerk of Chicago, and now as the first independently elected Hispanic in statewide office here in Illinois. And it's fun to be the first woman, right? But it's even better to be the first of many. And that's why we're here, because many of these women here have been firsts along the way as well. They've had to break barriers. They've, you know, blazed trails. And it's fun, like I said, sometimes you don't necessarily do it to be the first, but when you are, you have to make sure you're not the last. So I hope that this story and all of these stories today will inspire other women to go for it and to not back down and definitely never shortchange themselves and what they're capable of. But today's about all of you, ladies, and your amazing accomplishments. And I'd like to tell you, the folks in the audience, a little bit about each of our honorees today and have them come up. We're going to take a photo and then I'm gonna have them say a few words. So just as housekeeping, I'm gonna announce each one of you. We're gonna walk back here as I give you your award and we're gonna take a really nice photo. And then you're gonna be welcomed up to the podium to say a few words of inspiration, which I'm sure you all will have plenty to say. And then afterwards, when it's all over, we will take a group shot of all the honorees right here by the flags. And then when that's over, you're welcome to invite anyone who you'd like to be in a photo and we'll take them there together as well, independently. So not with the group, but everybody, we will not leave until all photos that you want are taken, okay? So let me start with our first honoree today, Elizabeth French. Elizabeth French is the proud mother of two adopted children, Andrew and Ella. She recently retired from 27 years of teaching special education with Berwyn South District 100. Born and raised in the city of Chicago and a lifelong resident of the Chicago area, Elizabeth is committed to sharing her time and talent to assist her native home. Elizabeth believes in supporting charitable organizations and causes that assist communities and their residents. First responders are a particular passion of hers, of course, children, as well as animals. Prior to adopting her children, Elizabeth was a foster parent with Catholic Charities of the Archdiocese of Chicago. She taught religious education to people with developmental disabilities through special religious development, an Archdiocese Religious education program. Her generosity and caring nurture does not stop with humans. Elizabeth also worked with Small Paws Rescue to foster many pups while they were waiting for their forever homes. But maybe some of her most meaningful and heartfelt work is as the founding executive director of Light the Line, which supports the well-being of law enforcement officers. It was established in honor of her daughter, Ella, who collectively broke all of our hearts when she fell in the line of duty in 2021. Her partner is here with us today, Officer Carlos Yanez, who I would really love it if you could stand up and all of us give him a round of applause and thank him for his service. I'm sorry, what?
And Josh.
Oh, Josh, I'm so sorry. Okay, and no, you stand up too, please. Yes. Judge Bias, yes, Officer Bias. Thank you. And, you know, what happened that day was absolutely horrific. But Elizabeth took that horror, took that pain, and channeled it for some good. And she has been dedicated to helping keep Ella's memory alive, helping inspire the next generation of Ella's. So many scholarship programs, kids that are going to school, hopefully might pursue a career in law enforcement, trying to keep people safe. Ella's work continues through the work and the dedication and the love of her mother. And Light the Line's efforts include a mobile unit that visits local police departments and provides on-scene support during critical incidents, workshops, and a suicide support group, and more. I mean, if you think about, and I think we need to think about this because no one really does. If you think about what happens in an officer-involved shooting, you know, these guys, men and women, are completely traumatized if they survive that. You know, they have to live, like in this case, you lost your partner. And that in and of itself is horrific, and they have to live with that. And then they were injured as well. And to live, you know, have to get through that. And imagine the officers that show up to help their fellow officers who've been shot, who have to pull bodies out of a dangerous shooting situation, who are covered in blood of the people that they love, and don't even have a place to go rinse it off. Don't have a place of their own to like just sit there and cry. Like, that's what I want you to think about, because that's what these folks go through. And it's like nobody cares. It's like nobody cares. They have nothing to care for them from a mental and a physical perspective, right? They can't even go into a restroom in the privacy like of their own thoughts. There's nothing for them. So what Mrs. French is doing with this Light the Line effort, really Ella's Light the Line effort with this mobile unit, is to be on scene when there's a situation like this, where the officers in that moment can decompress, even if it's for a few minutes, have a place that's just for them, where they can use the restroom, where they can rinse off, where they can talk to the rabbi or to Father Brandt, where they can just be. And that is so necessary. Things you don't really think about, right? As citizens, we don't think about what those officers need in that moment to get through that moment of trauma. And so in the absence of Ella, her mother is fighting the good fight. And not just for citizens so that we all feel safer, but also to protect the fellow officers that Ella so proudly served with. So I can't thank you enough, Mrs. French, and to her partners, I'm so sorry for your loss as well. And I just thank you for your service on behalf of the 12 million plus people that I have the privilege of representing as controller. Thank you for your service as well. And so, Mrs. French, thank you. God bless you. And because you take such good care of our officers and all of us, we want to recognize you today. Thank you. Please come on up.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to take it right over here. Come on. Follow me.
Do you need to get closer, Eric, or are you good?
No, I'm good. Right.
And then put this a little bit down. So you don't get a glare on it, but you should be used to this because you get so many awards all the time because you're so awesome. All right, go on up there.
When I was first contacted about this honor today, the first thing that popped into my head was, no. There are so many more women out there that are deserving of this than I am. The other ladies that are to my left, my daughter, Chicago Police Officer Ella French, all women, all the women of the Chicago Police Department and all women in law enforcement everywhere, and the two women responsible for the creation of the awesome organization known as Light the Line, Lieutenant Rhonda Anderson and Sergeant Liz Alaniz. And so I accept this honor on behalf of all of those women with a very, very grateful thank you.
She's the best, and I see her everywhere, and she's working very, very hard. And honestly, I don't know how you do it, because that would be such a traumatic experience for most people, which of course it is for you, but whether it's here or out in the communities or at the police officer memorials, Mrs. French has truly inspired and strengthened so many people who have felt just so lost and brokenhearted. So thank you for that. And now we will continue with our program. Our next honoree is Jennifer Guzman. Jen is a leader in Chicago's business community, known for her commitment to mentoring small and middle market businesses and her ability to drive transformative growth. She was raised in West Rogers Park by a Mexican immigrant father. He's here. Where are you, Mr. Guzman? Parece. Yes, stand up. You gotta, yes, yep. He did a great job. He did a great job with her. And Jewish grandparents. And her upbringing instilled in her a deep appreciation for hard work, community support, and giving back. Values that form the foundation of her leadership style. With more than 20 years of experience in human resources and client-employee experience, Jen has an exceptional track record of optimizing organizations and developing thriving workplace cultures. As Human Resources Director at Apt Electronics, Jen played a vital role in the company earning the prestigious number one ranking among top workplaces in Chicago for two consecutive years. Then, as partner and vice president of experience at Empower HR, Jen spearheaded initiatives that grew their client base from 150 to 500, expanded the team from 45 to 150 employees, and doubled worksite employees from 10,000 to 20,000, ultimately preparing the firm for a successful sale in 2022. Jen's approach to building meaningful relationships and fostering trust inspired her to found Bestola Consulting, where she helps organizations align their purpose with their output, streamline operations, and enhance experiences to drive both satisfaction and performance. Beyond her professional achievements, Jen's impact extends deeply throughout Chicago's communities. As HR Committee Chair for the Chicago Community Loan Fund, she contributes to the stewardship of a nearly $200 million fund dedicated to empowering local communities. And as chair of the board of Poder, Jen helped secure $6 million to open the first immigrant integration center in Gage Park. Jen also serves as vice president of the board of SUM, an organization focused on uplifting local communities. Her commitments earned her the 2023 Outstanding Volunteer Award from the Association of Fundraising Professionals. Currently, also leading Rise Chicago, her latest endeavor, Jen continues to channel her expertise to drive sustainable business growth, foster equity, and create lasting change. She knows Chicago has every possible element it needs to be the economic powerhouse of not just Illinois, but the country, and her leadership in Rise Chicago is centered around making that dream more so a reality. Now, woof, I think I ran through a lot there, Jed. I think I have to take a breath after all of that. So please come on up. We're going to take a picture and then tell us how you get this all done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, here you go. Tilt down a little bit.
Excellent. Thank you.
Take it away.
Boy, that was more overwhelming with emotion than I thought it would be. I am proud, as Susanna mentioned, to be a Mexa-Jew from West Rogers Park. Ubuntu is an ancient African word rooted in humanist African philosophy and can be roughly translated as humanity to others, or I am because we are. It comes from a Zulu proverb meaning a person is a person through other people. I am because of all the women I'm surrounded by. I am because of my grandmothers and who they made me to be. I am for my children to come, and I am for the little girl inside me. A special shout out to all the girl dads that raise women on their own. I'm grateful for leaders like Susanna and others and the women here today, similar to Mrs. French. I also, when Susanna first told me, I'm like, no, this is not what I do this for. But ladies, we have to start accepting our wins. So here we are. I also realized my whole crew today and most of the women that I'm privileged to stand here with all had the courage to take the leap and become entrepreneurs. We need more people to take the leap. Take the leap for you, take the win for you, and take the leap for others, and speak up courageously. Because remember, if we stand for nothing, we will fall for anything. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, let me just tell you, keep your eye on this one, because she's already, you know, made me, like, have to take a deep breath after all the accomplishments you've had, Jen, but she is amazing and a true rock star, and I think you meet her and you kind of get this energy off of her and you realize how amazing of a leader we have here in Chicago in this room right now, and there's so many, but, like, I'm a big fan, as you can tell. So, anyway, we'll move on to another person that I'm a huge fan. I mean, I'm a huge fan of everybody here because I picked them. Just saying. I'm calling. Yes. But the next person is amazing as well, and her energy is off the charts, as you will see. May Whiteside Williams, actually. Congratulations. May is the founder and CEO of CKL Engineers. Now, May Whiteside is a trailblazing civil engineer and entrepreneur. As the founder and CEO of CKL Engineers, LLC, she has built one of the nation's few African-American women-owned construction, engineering, and inspection firms. Under her leadership, CKL Engineers has played a pivotal role in major infrastructure projects, bringing diversity to transportation and infrastructure. Now, with a background in geotechnical field inspections, May isn't playing around. She never does. She uses her experience for large-scale roadway developments, making her a recognized force in the industry. Beyond engineering, May is deeply committed to STEM education and workforce development, mentoring the next generation of engineers through initiatives like the Future Engineers Internship Program at CKL. I love it. And let me just tell you, little girls need to be looking at people like May Whiteside, because they definitely have a lane in STEM, in engineering, and all the things that the boys can do. As Eric, my photographer's 11-year-old little girl, Kingsley, says, no offense to the boys, there's nothing boys can do that girls can't do better. So she is rocking it in her engineering space. Yes. May is a sought-after speaker and media expert and has appeared on CBS Chicago, offering insights into infrastructure challenges and, better yet, solutions. She also engages with business and civic leaders to discuss the future of engineering, urban development, and technology integration in the field. I think we can all safely say that May is not just shaping infrastructure, she's shaping the future. So please, May, join us for a few pictures and tell us more about yourself. And, yes. And give them a little bit of your background, because I think that's important.
Okay.
You know, go there. Okay. All right, let's take a picture first.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay.
I don't want to share your story. Okay. And then right here.
Hold that right here.
This way?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Your thing, girl. Yes.
Okay, so she wanted me to tell the truth about my background. So I'm actually Mae Cherry from the Low End. if anybody knows anything about the Low End, it's the area just south of downtown. But a lot of the challenges and tribulations I've gone through, I've been supported by my mom, my grandmother, and strong women, not only in my family but in the industry as well. But having to go through over a decade of homelessness, most of the streets I've built, I've either walked on, traveled on, or slept on. So part of my interest in infrastructure has a lot to do with transit, transportation, the ability to be mobile. And when you don't have the funds, it's very difficult to be mobile. And so having a strong future in transportation and also in business had a lot to do with me watching a family member run a grocery store. I got to see operations. I got to see how you interact with staff. I got to see how you interact with vendors. And you have to take care of the people who take care of you. And that is probably one of the most important guiding lights that I have when I run my business, is how do you take care of others as I have been taken care of? And most importantly, there's so many people in the industry who know the story, but I have to say thanks to Sister Therese and Sister Connie for providing a safe space for Black women and their children during the period of homelessness. And so a lot of the inspiration came from watching such a tough person manage all of us in that one room place. So I just thank my family. My family's here. You can wave Cody. The CKL team is here. Jocelyn in the back. My good friends, James and Sochi, they're here too. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I didn't expect to go that deep in my personal story, but sometimes you have to hear what drives a person to get up every day to do what they do and why they open their doors to create jobs. So thank you so much. Thank you, friends.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mae. And I asked her right now as she came up to like share that very personal side of her story. I wanted you all to hear it, but I didn't think it was my place to share it with you because I could not do it justice. Mae is so inspiring to me on so many levels. And it's not because of her success today. It's because of what she had to overcome to become the success that she is today. Because many other people wouldn't have done that. And she did. And so I think that is something to be super proud of. The problems, the obstacles that you had to overcome, that she is one of the top Black female-owned engineering companies with her master's degree, and she's got all the same credentials that the boys in the field have. But she had to overcome so much more than probably all of them put together, or a lot of them. I shouldn't shortchange other people's stories, but I have a feeling that there's not that many people with a story like hers. And so for that reason is that I just think she is even more powerful than you could give credit to someone who reaches, you know, power or success, but maybe had an easier path, right? And so thank you, Mae, because you serve as a true inspiration to little girls everywhere, but also to big ones like me. Thank you. Okay, and our next honoree is Natalie Loma. Natalie was born in Cameroon in 1987. Just 2 months later, her father passed away, leaving her mother to navigate life as a widow with a newborn. Determined to provide for them, her mother taught herself to sew, became a skilled seamstress specializing in African fabrics and event wear. Growing up, Natalie watched her mother transform fabric into beautiful garments, learning both the art of design and the resilience of hard work. Inspired by her mother's creativity and perseverance, she developed a deep passion for fashion. In 2006, she moved to the U.S. to study journalism and broadcasting. After graduation, she worked in the media, covering fashion and hosting red carpet events, but her love for design never faded. Eventually, Natalie rented a small workroom and fully embraced her calling as a designer. Now, Natalie draws strength from her mother's example when designing for a global market. She mentors high school students, encouraging them to chase their dreams as her mother once inspired her to do. And honoring her mother's memory, Natalie founded the International House of Fashion, a nonprofit with a mission to make a positive impact through fashion education. The organization empowers young women and women driven by their love of fashion by providing hands-on training in sewing, pattern making, textiles, photography, makeup, and hairstyling. Future programs aim to include marketing and branding to help equip students with the essential business skills for success in the industry. And if that's not enough, Natalie has also helped women who lost everything in California during the wildfires. She has sent boxes of her beautiful designs, clothing to women who didn't even, like literally had just the clothes that they were wearing when they had to flee their homes, specifically in Altadena, California. And so wanting to do something and not knowing what to do and realizing that women didn't literally have clothes to wear. And a lot of the clothes that was being donated, which thankfully there's so many people donating clothing and stores and so forth in Altadena or other parts of California, Pasadena being another one, most women will tell you that they're buying the most basics or they're accepting as donations the most basics, which of course, any woman will get this, is, you know, black suits or black tops or black pants and, you know, cream or white colored neutrals, essentially, that you can use to go to work, right? And no one's thinking about the pretty dress and the colorful pops, right, that you normally would when you don't have to worry about not having any clothes, right? When we have the luxury of going shopping and choosing what we want. When it's just what you absolutely need, it's those, you know, kind of boring, if you think about it symbolically, sad colors, right? And so she outfitted women with beautiful designs, with color, and kind of making, putting the color back in their lives, right? And I've talked to women who have benefited from her donations, and it's like there's tears involved, but in this case, they're tears of joy. Because one of the women who put on her designs told me, she goes, you know, I didn't even really stop to think that all the clothes I've been wearing kind of tell the story of how I'm feeling inside. And now, by putting color on, I get to feel like I'm bringing color back into my heart. And that's like a beautiful testament to the power that just being good and kind and charitable does, right? And so, Natalie, thank you so much. You're such an inspiration to me, too. All these women are truly amazing. So give it up for Natalie and come on up and get your award.
Oh my gosh. Whew. Thank you so much.
And it has pockets.
It does have pockets. You need pockets. Thank you so much. I am truly, truly honored for this recognition, Madam Sana Controller. Oh my gosh. I am like, so the International House of Fashion was born from a passion. Truly to empower young to creativities and skill. And my mother, a self-taught seamstress, instructed me in the power of fashion. And I'm so privileged to pass this lesson forward. So I'm so excited that this such thing is being recognized in our beautiful state of Illinois. And to our student, our mentor, our supporter, our board member, and my family and my mother who's here today, I share this honor with you. And thank you so much for believing in this vision. And again, thank you so much, Susanna, for and your entire office for this amazing recognition. Thank you for being
well
our fashionista.
Deserved. Oh, no.
And our fashion model. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Natalie's mom, stand up to be recognized. This powerful woman made things happen. I know, I feel like we need to do an event where we honor the kids and their parents.
Yeah.
specifically, right? And they're all kids. You're like, if we're 85, we're still kids to our parents, yes? Now, I will say that besides Natalie's nonprofit, which we talked about, she has one of the most amazing high-end boutiques, but affordable, believe it or not. Like, I have been the beneficiary of picking out outfits and wearing them and being able to actually afford them, which normally I can't do. Her dresses are not any more expensive than if you just go to Nordstrom's and buy a dress for an event. And so it blows my mind, because when I first walked into her boutique, which happens to be at the Northbridge Malls, right outside Nordstrom's. Is it on the second floor, Natalie? Yeah, right outside Nordstrom's on the second floor. Like, if I didn't know any better, I would have walked in the boutique and immediately walked out, because I thought, I can't afford anything in here, because it's so beautiful. Do yourself a favor and go check out that boutique, because I promise you, you will find it affordable. And if you need a dress, there's nothing like getting a dress tailor-made to fit you. It is the best feeling. And of course, pockets, girls, you know, like, everything's about pockets. But her boutique is called Natalie Loma, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And I actually go do like fun events with my girlfriends where we drink champagne and we try on dresses. It's very like Pretty Woman like. But you can actually afford it. It's not on Rodeo Drive. And so anyway, Natalie, thank you again for being an inspiration to all of us. And I am giving a plug to your business, because we as women need to support other amazing women. And I'm telling you, you're better off shopping at Natalie Loma's than you are anywhere else. So, all right. And so again, these are all women that I think are amazing. And did you have an update for me on, we were supposed to honor someone else? Is it Rebecca
Darr?
Yeah. She's not going to make it. Okay. So Rebecca Darr, we had a fifth honoree today. Rebecca Darr is the executive director of WINGS. And WINGS is a domestic violence shelter that is not like, you can't find it. You know what I mean? It's one of those behind the scenes that you wouldn't know where it is, but the people who need to know and receive those services know where to go. And they work very closely with the police department in making sure that women find a safe environment. And Rebecca is truly amazing and has done incredible things servicing women in the domestic violence space. Now, she was to be honored today, but unfortunately, late last night, she was coming back from a flight, and in O'Hare fell and broke her nose and lacerated her lip, where she needed to go to the hospital. And so, yeah, that's why she's not here. So I just wanted to make it clear that she didn't ditch us, but she was rushing to get home and unfortunately rushed a little bit too much, you know? So we'll likely, instead of giving her a plaque, I'll probably send her flowers today, like, feel good. I don't want to send her anything to eat, because it probably hurts to eat with a lacerated lip. But that's why she's not here. But it really has been a pleasure for me to get to honor these other four amazing women and to hear their stories, their words of encouragement. Hopefully you've all been equally inspired as I have today. And I'm going to ask these women to just keep up the great work. Under no circumstances let anything bring you down or stop you from, you know, making the mark on this state, on our cities, in this world that you are right now. Because even if you think no one's watching, no pressure, I promise you everyone is. So it's like little girls out there, and anyone really, frankly, who see your example and see themselves reflected in what you've achieved. And so it's really important that we keep that in mind. Whether we want to be or not, we're always role models. And how we model our behavior is going to determine the kind of world that we're setting the path for the next generation. So thank you. Keep doing it. And know that you look fabulous doing it as well. So now I'd like we're going to end this portion here. We're going to take the group shot, and then we'll take individual shots with anyone who would like to be in photos. Sound good?
Right here first, right here. Natalie, just tone it up a little bit. Straighten yourself. There you go. There, nice, 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 nice. Okay, right here.
Okay. All right. Woohoo! And then they're going to shoot.
She just wants to go
over here.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, it's a video.
It's okay.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Thank you.